Let's go to the Lord one more time. Father, now we come to that moment in your service where we pause and listen to what you are teaching us, what you are telling us through your servant Paul. But Lord, not only that, let us be your servants. Let us take what you are teaching us, this knowledge, this wisdom, and use it every day, Lord, not only to, Lord, fulfill our obligations of being your children, but also to give hope and encouragement to all those who are struggling with the things of this world. So, Father, now I just turn it over to you. I ask that you remove me from this and let your Spirit speak through itself. We thank you, and in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Now, I mentioned just then, and I hope you remember last week, we learned about God giving his children wisdom and knowledge. Well, today we're going to learn a little bit about that wisdom and knowledge, learn a few things. What types of things does God want us to know? How about the very basics of our faith? And Lord, this is very important because a lot of us are forgetting the very basic things we believe. In fact, I was watching something this weekend from another church, not in the Kansas City area, but you know how on Facebook they have promotional videos for different churches? And it was this minister, and I'll get in a little more into it, but he was basically denying the basics of the faith. I'll explain a little more later on in the sermon about that particular instance. But folks, if we forget what we're doing, who we are serving, and what he expects of us, what we were as opposed to what we are in Christ, we forget a lot. And we decrease not only our testimony, but the blessings that we can receive on this earth. So we're going to cover a little of that today. Imagine trying to fix a car. And let me tell you, this past weekend, I know a lot about that. Some of y'all know that on my Ford, the alternator and the idler pulley went out. Where a member of this church came and tried to help me replace it. And he did. He did a really good job. It's working now. But I'm going to tell you what. I used to remember. How many remember the manuals you used to get at the auto parts store? The big old thick books. Now all you got to do is hit that little Google button. Boom! And they'll show you what to do. But I remember digging through those things. I had to have the knowledge. I would rather have the knowledge presented to me and then work on it. But some things I can't work on. Some things I do not have the knowledge. I'd never put an alternator in on a Ford. I put one in on a GMC, but never a Ford. So my brother helped me get that thing on there. Unfortunately, I think you can see me walking kind of gingerly. He was laying under the car with his feet sticking out, and I come around the corner and didn't see him. And I tripped over his big old feet, and I did a face plant on the concrete. I'm not going to make you suffer, but if I was to roll up my britches leg, you'd see these great big old skint marks on my knee and bruises from where I hit that concrete. Luckily, my face hit my hand like this, and I didn't knock my teeth out or anything like that. So I was very blessed in that moment. It hurt in that moment, but I was also thankful that it wasn't any worse than what it was. The reason I'm saying all that is, you know, basic knowledge would have said, look where you're going, Charlie. Watch out. We've got tools and parts and oil scattered all over the place. But you know what? Sometimes we ignore the basics to our detriment. So we need to know those basics by which we live. Now, if I did not know what to do, which I didn't in this case, someone gives me that information. God gives us the information we need to understand what we believe and why we believe it and what he does for us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That knowledge comes from him alone, not from some commentary that some guy wrote 700 years ago. Okay, or some TV preacher that's telling you what's popular in the moment, but from the very Word of God, the very Spirit inspired from the heart of God to us men and women here on earth today. That is where we get our knowledge. And where do we find that? Well, we find it in the Bible, obviously. And what are we going to look at today is one of the greatest speaking texts that Jesus did not speak in the Bible. Now, of course, the gospel contained the word of Jesus, and you have some in Acts, and of course, you got it in Revelation. But also, God spoke through his servants, Peter, Paul, James, John, many different cases. And today, we're going to learn in Ephesians chapter 2 from Paul. It is about, this text is all about and centered very much on Jesus. Although he did not speak these words, he tells us what we need to know through the Holy Spirit and through his servant Paul. It starts with a fact. Our previous condition, where we were as children of wrath in that condition, and God's love for us even while we were in that condition, our new condition in Jesus, and what we must do in that new state. A lot of good information we're going to have. So please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I'll be reading, of course, out of the King James. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." That's the devil, folks. "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by very nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works," or for the purpose of good works, "which God hath both ordained before, that we should walk in them." A lot of stuff there. One of the greatest texts in all the Bible. But we need to break it down and understand some things. We need to receive as much knowledge and wisdom as we can from these words. So, as a continuation from last week's text, I want to start with the very end of chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Paul talking about Jesus. "And hath," that is God, "put all things under His," that is Jesus' "feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." We sang about all in all just a few minutes ago. Not planned. Folks, Christ is all in all, and everything is accomplished through Him. God shows His love for us in Him. God provided eternal life through Him. And sometimes we forget that. Now, we don't say we do, but by our actions, by our choices, by our thinking, sometimes we deny that. And if we were honest to ourselves and looked in the mirror, we would realize when those moments come, because the Spirit that dwells within us sends up that little red flag, sends up that little red light spinning around. I used to be a volunteer fireman. Many of y'all know that. I had me a little dash light. Had that little red beacon, and it would flip, had little mirrors on the side. Ordered it from Dolls, brother. You know what I'm talking about? All right. I had it on my dashboard, and folks would get out of your way. It was a warning. Sometimes God sets that little red light off us as a warning to watch what you're saying, watch what you're thinking. Understand the actions you're going to do are going to have consequences. Many times we listen, but unfortunately sometimes we don't. And that is a problem for us, because when we don't, we forget the very basics that God is trying to tell us. So let's start with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "And you hath He quickened." Who's the you? You guys in Ephesus. We, today, here, reading His Word. God has quickened us. "We're dead in trespasses and sin." Folks, we were dead to God while we were sinners. But as we've said over and over, God loves us so much that while we were sinners, apart from Him, separated from Him, making the wrong choices every chance because that was our nature, He loved us so much that Christ died for us. That means He took our sins and nailed them to the cross with Himself. And the sin debt was paid in Him. And all that being said, that old-time word quicken simply means to make alive. Well, how do you make something alive? What do you have to be first before you are made alive? You have to be non-living, correct? Now, that doesn't always mean dead. When you're born, you're not actually dead before you're created, before you're made alive. But normally, you've got to be dead before you're made alive, correct? That is what our hope is in, life, and life more abundant, life given through the blood of Jesus Christ, life given by the Father as a gift. But you were dead before that happened. Someone or something who was at that moment dead. But why are we dead? Well, the verse gives the hint. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Because we are guilty of being ruled over by and participating in trespasses. What is a trespass? A violation of God's law. And sins. What are sins? Missing God's standard. Missing the mark is what the word actually means. And it's God's holy standards that we miss. Why do we miss them? Because we're in trespasses. We are violating God's law without Him. Without understanding that, we can't seek Him. We can't repent. We can't obey Him because we think we're okay. We think we're doing what's right. Well, let's talk. Remember, I just said He was talking to the Ephesian Christians, okay? Verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Folks, the children of disobedience are sinners. Why? Because they are disobedient. They are in their trespasses. They are in their sin. And they like it. They don't want to change. That's why they're disobedient. When your parents or your grandparents told you to do something, did you sit there and go, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't know about y'all's household, but when I said that, the next words I heard were, boy, go get me a peach limb. Or I heard that sound of that belt unclasping it. It's like a sword being drawn. Comes out of all the loops at once. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Or better yet, the shoe. That shoe was accurate. Let me tell you, my grandma could whoop that shoe like a boomerang. I prayed she was wearing flip-flops. Because if she's wearing heels, those things do make a real boomerang. And man, they'll leave a mark. Or the old standby, the hand. You could be anywhere in a church pew in the Piggly Wiggly. And you mess up and whap, there you go. Now, that was never given in meanness. Never given just to hurt. It was given in correction. It was given in love. It was given to teach me the right things to do. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that. Because I was dead in my trespasses and sin, I was dead. But God quickened me. He made me alive. Wherein past you walked according to the course of this world. You see, before I was saved, even when I was a little boy, before I was saved, I did everything the way the world did it. And many of us, mature people, still do. We like the way the world does it because you have tangible rewards. You get more money, more status, more power, more whatever. If you do things the world works, but you see, the world doesn't tell you there are consequences to making that choice. There's eternal separation from God if you choose to go the world's way. And why is this? Because the world is doing things according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, that tells me that sinners are under the control of the enemy, the prince of the power of the air. You see, and this is going to sound weird, but the devil has reign here on earth. He is the god of the flesh. He is the god of the temporary. And when I say god, I mean little g, folks. I don't mean the big G, okay? He is not God's opposite. He is a created being. He will never. You see these old pictures of Jesus and the devil wrestling or something like that. That is false. The devil has to bow down to Jesus. He bows down to the Father. He admits that there's a Father. When he tempted Jesus, he said, you know, throw yourself off this mountain. God will save you. He'll send his angels. So he admits there's a God. But he trembles. He trembles. Even when he walked in the council of the heavenlies, when he was just about to go after Job, he had to get permission to make those accusations. And it was God that said, have you considered my servant Job? And only then was the devil allowed to speak. You see, when you're facing the devil, you have Christ. You are in Christ. He can't touch you because you're in Christ. Now, you can go after him. You can ask him. And by default, when you don't do things God's way, your natural man goes into that response. How does the world work? I want what the world has to offer. You're serving the prince of the power of the air. You are serving Satan when you do that. Now, you may be saved, okay? And if you are saved, you don't want to do that. And if you do it, it's by mistake or just making bad choices. But let's move on from that. Those that were dead because they served the world, doing things the world's way and not God's way. We've already kind of mentioned that. Who came up with the world's way? The enemy of our souls, the guy we were just talking about. Many names for him: Satan, Diablos in Spanish, all right, Iblis in Arabic, all right, Satan in Hebrew, we shorten that to Satan, Old Scratch if you're from the Appalachian Mountains, all right, have you ever heard him called that? He is not the guy running around in the red long underwear with a pitchfork, folks. The enemy of our souls is beautiful. He was an angel of light. Now, we see him in modern imagery and stuff is all curled up, demonic looking, and yes, he can be that. But he's usually appearing to you in a very pleasant form. He's tempting you. You know, if you see a beautiful puppy that come up to you, you're likely to pet that puppy, right? Well, if you see a cotton mouth, what are you going to do? So when the devil comes to you, he's not going to come to you in the form of the snake in the Garden of Eden and start talking. Most of us have enough common sense. And I'm talking about Christians. The world still falls for the other. But we will see that angel of light. And we will see things and hear things that tempt us by being nice to us, being nice to our flesh, wanting us to have things that the world has. So we choose to do that. That is wrong, brothers and sisters, and there's consequences to making those choices. Let's go on to verse 3. Among whom, talking about the world and the children of disobedience, also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, these and these others. So Paul's telling them, we used to be this. We used to be these children of disobedience. We had our conversation. We lived our life. We talked about it. We cracked the same jokes. We acted the same way. Folks, one of the worst things that I ever experienced as a young Christian, a young paramedic, I went to my first EMS convention down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Guys I had known for several years by then, we all walked in, you know, and I knew they were going to be a little drinking, a little stuff like that. What scared me is the minute they passed through that door, the wedding rings came off. And there were folks that I knew were married and had families that were messing around with people that I knew that had families and had children. I never went to another one. I didn't want to be seen in a place like that. I could get my continuing education somewhere else. All right? When you see that kind of stuff, don't run to it. Flee youthful lust. Flee the devil. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. How do you resist him? In the name of Jesus Christ. When you are tempted, pray immediately. And don't pray, oh Lord, help me get through this. Oh Lord, deliver me from this is a better prayer. It tells us in the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one. That's the actual understanding. We always say, deliver us from evil. But in the actual Greek, it says, deliver us from the evil one. Folks, that's who's coming after us. He wants to separate us from our relationship with God. Now, if you're truly saved, not even the devil himself can separate you, okay? Nothing can take you out of God's hand. But we will lose our joy, we will lose our influence, we will lose our witness if we run and do the things the way the world does. Folks, it's a scary world out there, and I'm not just talking about the obvious evil that we see. We see evil among Christians, and the reason I want to say this is because, and I'm not saying this flippantly, I saw a commercial on Facebook this week. I watch all the Christian channels and SBC online and all that stuff to kind of keep up with what's going on, where there was this advertisement. You know, these churches make these promotional videos, come to our church, come visit us, etc. Well, there was a church, and the name of the church was the Trinity Methodist Church. Now, I'm saying that because he put that out there. He's the preacher was the one giving it. And this was what he was saying. Come to our church. You'll feel welcome. There are no labels at our church. You can be whoever you want to be at our church. In fact, God will accept you the way you are, and he won't change you. He loves you that much. Has that, God forgive me, that idiot ever read the Bible? What do we do when we come to God? What do we need to be when we come to God? Born again. Does that mean he keeps us in our sin? God forbid, because in sin is death. God does not keep you in eternal death. He gives you eternal life. He changes you. Folks, when preachers get up there and they preach, God's not going to change you, you can be whatever you want, that is a lie from the pits of hell itself. And what's worse is a lot of us in the church will accept that. Oh, it sounds good. It talks to us. It gives us nice, warm, and fuzzy feelings. You don't have to do anything different. You can be just like the world. Did they not read these scriptures we read today? God does not want you to stay in your sin. He does not want you to be a child of disobedience. He wants you to be a child of God in His kingdom. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ takes us from the kingdom of darkness and puts us into the kingdom of His glorious light. That means we don't stay. Yes, God accepts us when we come, but He loves us enough not to keep us the way we are when we come. He creates us anew in our very spirit, in our very spiritual DNA, to be a child of His. You see, what I'm wearing today, this mortal flesh, cannot be in the presence of God. So what does He do? He changes us from the inside out. We read this passage at funerals all the time. The flesh that we have in the spirit is different than the flesh we have here on earth. This is going to die. No matter how much money you have, no matter how many houses or cars or whatever you have, or girlfriends or boyfriends or mistresses or whatever they are, folks, they will all disappear. They will die along with you if you do not get right with God. Now, that sounds down to people. Oh, well, I enjoy my life right now. Well, fine, because this is the closest to heaven you're ever going to get. You better enjoy it, because there ain't no tomorrow for you when you close your eyes. Well, let me rephrase that. There's a tomorrow, but it's not in the presence of God with joy and pleasures and all that stuff that God gives us through His blessing. No, it's separated from all love, from all light, from all goodness, from all joy, forever and ever and ever. Folks, that's the basics we need to understand. And if we deny it, you're denying the very Word of God. And I feel pity for those fake pastors that preach this garbage, worldly gospel that's not even a gospel. Gospel means good news. It's not good news if someone has cancer and the doctor comes in and says, you still got cancer and you're going to die from it. Is that good news? Only if you're a Christian. Because if you're a Christian, you know that the pain you have on this earth is not going to last. Folks, we don't want to hurry the process, but there's nothing wrong with us wanting to be in the presence of God for eternity, to go to our heavenly reward. Nothing wrong with that. But as long as He's got you here, He's got you something to do. Fulfill what He has for you to do here first, and He'll call you when He's ready. Now, all that being said, let's go to verse 4, because we're going to switch from what we were to what God is doing for us. Verse 4, Ephesians chapter 2. God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. It's telling us, because of God's mercy, because of His love, even while we were dead in our sins, separated from Him for eternity, He made us alive, He gave us life, He quickened us together with Christ. Now that has to do with the resurrection. By grace you are saved. It is God's grace and mercy that gives us the ability to believe in Christ. He doesn't force anybody, but He does give you the choice. Are you going to love me like I love you? Are you going to be obedient or children of disobedience? Which are you going to be? That's up to us. Do we accept the gift of grace? Do we accept the gift of Christ, the cross, the resurrection? Or do we keep going away like the ways of the world? Where is the world headed, folks? Look at the news. Look at the fathers killing their children. Look at these governments killing their people. Look at all this stuff that's going around. Folks, that's been going around ever since day one. Ever since man fell. Well, I shouldn't say day one, because it was probably a couple days after the creation. But ever since man has been on this earth, there's been war, there's been pain, there's been terror. It's not God's fault. You'll have some people that try to say, well, God ordains that. That's not right. Because God does not tempt anyone and God does not ordain evil. He allows it to happen. Why? Because He gives us a choice. He tells you, you can choose good or you can choose evil. You can choose death or you can choose life. And as Moses said from the mountain, choose life. Folks, in all circumstances, we are to choose life. Life is being obedient to God. Now, two of the greatest words in all of Scripture, but God. You see, man messed up. We are lost,
and we are headed for perdition's flames. But God enters and changes all things, doesn't it? Those two words. You're this way, you're in this condition, but God. And we see that but God every time we look in the face of Jesus Christ. Every time we see a cross that's empty. Every time we see an empty tomb, we see the but God in reality. His mercy and love causes us to be alive in Christ due to His amazing and undeserved grace available to all who come to Him in faith. It's available to everybody who chooses to believe. Folks, you have to make that choice. I would make it when you were younger, but even when you're younger and you make that choice, you're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to make bad choices. But God loves you enough to help you through those times and to be reunited with Him in a great and powerful way. Now, what else does He do besides the but God? Verse 6, And God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about that for a second. We know that Christ is in us by the Holy Spirit, right? And we know that we are in Christ. Well, where is Christ physically right now? He's at the right hand of God the Father. Therefore, in some mysterious way, but it's not too mysterious if you really think about it, if we are in Christ, we are in the heavenlies with Him. If He's making intercession for us day and night, as the book of Hebrews tells us, where are we? Because we got to be there with Him for Him to make intercession for us. Physically, we are here. But you see, when we're born again, we have a new spirit, a new nature, a new self. And that self is with Christ in the heavenlies. And I thank God every day that it is. Because that's the only way, His intercession, His love, His grace, His mercy, that I can make it through this day, through this world. Verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, not only right now is He in the heaven, we in the heavenlies with Him, in the ages to come, in the future, not only for that group, but for all those who would believe in Him, God would be rich in grace and kindness toward us. Has God been rich in grace towards you? Have you got things in your past that you know God would not be very happy with, that you know God would separate you, the sheep from the goats? But folks, the gloriousness of God tells us that in Christ, all that has been taken away. All that has been lost. As far as the east is from the west, you never have to pay the price in eternity for what you've done on earth if you are in Him. Now, if we make bad choices here on earth, sometimes there are consequences to face. You don't believe me? Steal some money from a bank. Do 55 in 25 school zone. Okay? Tell your wife something she doesn't want to hear. Folks, and I'm not being silly. I'm talking about just in general sense, okay? Do something that you know there are going to be consequences for. Is God going to miracle you out of that? He might. In certain instances, but generally, He makes you live through the consequences. Why? Not because He doesn't love you, to teach you a lesson. A trial is given to you to teach you something. When you have a trial in a courtroom, what is being taught? Whether this person is guilty or not. Well, in our case, that trial, we have an advocate that is making intercession for us. Our eternal lawyer. Our advocate, Jesus Christ, is before the very throne of His Father every day saying, that one's mine, that one's mine. I forgave him, I forgave her. He is making that intercession so that we will not pay the price. He already paid it. How many times have y'all seen something weird, like you go to a grocery store or something? Don't happen as much as it used to. Walmart, yeah. Like I said, not as much as they used to. And I praise God every day they're taking those self-checkout counters out of most Walmarts. That was a stupid idea. You know how many people fall to temptation to walk out with a grocery bag of stuff they didn't pay for? See it all the time. However, that's a side point. I could preach a whole month of Sundays on the vile illnesses and evil of Walmart. Half of them would be parking lot and the other half would be inside the store. But folks, that's not saying nothing. That's just me being silly. But in the ages to come, that means we today, because for them, we are in the ages to come, right? And God has showed us the riches of His grace
by saving us through Jesus Christ and in His kindness us toward us through Jesus Christ. We are given eternal life. We are given eternal glory. We're given a new body. We're given a new flesh. We're given new everything because heaven and earth are going to be remade. Brothers and sisters, that is the love of God. And if you're looking for it, He will show it to you. If you're seeking Him, what does it say? We talked about faith a while back, that those who want to please God, first of all, listen to Him who sent Him. That's Jesus Christ. But also, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him means praying, asking, being a child of obedience, seeking Him, asking Him, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Lord Jesus, tell me which way I should go. What path should I take? And I can tell you, 9 times out of 10, it's that narrow path. In fact, I'd say 10 times out of 10, it's that narrow path, that narrow gate that you must pass through. How many of y'all ever read John Bunyan? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Pilgrim's Progress was the name of the book. Well, as Christian, the antagonist in the story, of course, it's an allegory, he gets to go through a narrow gate or a wide gate. Well, the wide gate leads down into this very pleasant-looking valley, but in that valley is death. The wicket gate, this narrow gate, leads up to the celestial city. And he has a character there named Evangelist. And Evangelist is telling him, go through this narrow gate. And when he goes to the foot of the cross. And when he gets to the foot of the cross, this giant pack that was weighing him down, it's released. That symbolized his sin. When he went to the cross, the sin was taken away. It was taken off of us. How many times have we been to the foot of the cross saying, Lord, remove this sin from me. Forgive me from this. Help me through this. And has he ever told you no? No, he's never done that. And he never will do that to someone that comes to him in repentance and faith. Now, if you're just being stupid and silly and emotional and you say, Lord, forgive me for this, but then you turn around and start doing it all over again, you're still going to carry that sin. Maybe not the one you asked forgiveness for, but the one you just committed. Folks, let it all go to God. Let Him take that pack from you. Let Him lead you through that small gate, because at the end of that gate is the celestial city where you will never, ever see tears or sorrow or pain or death again. And you will always be in the presence of Christ and those that loved Him. You got a loved one that has passed that loved Jesus. Folks, you're going to see him again. That is the hope we preach at the graveside. That is the hope we preach in the congregation. That is the hope we preach for all those that love him and bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. We will be together with him forever because of what Christ has done for us. Now let's move on to the next most famous verse. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's grace, His mercy, His love works in Christ through our faith in Christ. Grace, mercy, and faith are all gifts from God that He gives us because of His mercy and grace, but we receive that through our faith in Him. If we don't believe in Him, will we receive mercy? If our name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will at the last moment at the great white throne receive pardon? No. What does the Word tell us will happen to those that names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life? They are cast where? Into the lake of fire, where there is eternal darkness and the worm dieth not. Folks, I don't want to be party to that. But those that reject the name, the love, the mercy, the grace of God by disbelief. Disbelief is as active as belief. Non-faith is as active as faith. You're still doing something. You're saying, I don't want you, God. I don't need you. I'm good enough on my own. This religion over here tells me if I just do X, Y, and Z, and I can do that, that's works. Not by works. So that no man can say to God, I didn't need Jesus. I didn't need you. I can do all this on my own. And folks, that's what the world, that's what that preacher I was telling you about was telling. You don't need Jesus. All you need to do is come to our church and God's going to love you no matter what you are, no matter how you act. Folks, even in the Old Testament,
it tells us we are all like sheep and we've all gone astray. Each of us individually have turned to our own way, but God has laid upon Him, the servant, the Messiah, the lawlessness of us all, the iniquity of us all. Folks, that brings me hope. I know that little girl that I pulled her pigtails when I was in the third grade, okay, and made her cry. I know that that sin has been forgiven. I know that that one time I stuck that little Reese's peanut butter cup in my pocket at the local gas station when I was 7. I know that's been forgiven. I know that in my rebellious high school years and when I was a sailor, all those things that were sins that I committed, whatever they may be, that is forgiven. It does not count against me. Why? Because God's mercy and His grace, activated by the faith that I have in Him, not of my own goodness. Because all my goodness doesn't amount to a hill of squat, folks. Doesn't amount to that stuff that's steaming in the pasture on a bright spring morning behind a herd of cows. Folks, that's what Paul said his righteousness amount to. And Paul was much more righteous in his pre-Christian life than I ever thought to be. But you know what? I don't have to be anything less than a child of God. Because once I'm a child of God, my sins have been forgiven, I'm reconciled to the Father, and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is my advocate. He made the sacrifice that I needed to be made right with God. And folks, He made the sacrifice you needed to be made right with God. Whether you're here today or where you're watching by Facebook, I'm telling you what, God is all you need. Christ is all you need. Because you can worship God, but if you don't have Christ, it ain't the same thing. The demons know there's a God. We talked about that earlier. But folks, you know because of the wisdom and knowledge He has given us through the verses we read today that no man can be made right with God except through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood is what allows us to have the grace, the mercy, the faith that we have through Jesus Christ. His mercy, His faith are all those gifts given to us only through His begotten Son. The only thing we do is exercise that faith. And that's not a work, folks. I don't care what some preachers try to tell you, exercising faith is not a work. It's the natural progression of being a child of God. When you are a child of God, your faith comes naturally. Why? Because you're no longer what you once were. Your spiritual DNA has been recreated. It's been changed to where you no longer want to walk according to the ways of this world, where you no longer want to serve the enemy of our souls, where you no longer want to displease your God, your King, your Maker, your Heavenly Father. All of those good things are because of the faith that He gives us, the grace that He gives us, exercised by that faith. All other religions, as we kind of touched on, teach that man must earn his way to a new life, whether it's Islam, whether it's Buddhism, in some cases even Roman Catholicism. You've got to do certain things to mark off the boxes. You've got to do certain things to make yourself right with God. Folks, the only thing you do to make yourself right with God is believe in God the Son. You take the blood of Jesus Christ upon yourself by faith. And when that faith is activated, God's grace pours into you. That Holy Spirit comes into you. I love my charismatic brethren, but I'm going to tell you what, there's not two stages. Some of them teach, well, you're saved when you're saved. The Holy Spirit enters you, but you're not sealed by the Holy Spirit until you speak in tongues. Folks, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, as we learned last week, the moment you believe in truth. The moment you accept God's gift of love, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And there's a reason you are done this way. Why? Because you are, as Paul says in verse 10, for we are His workmanship, that is the Father, created in Christ Jesus, that is the Son, unto good works, that is the power that we have through the Holy Spirit to do those good works, which God hath both ordained that we should walk in them. These are not things that God foreordains like predestines you to do, with one exception. He foreordained that His children would do the right thing, that His children would do these good works that He calls you to do in your heart, loving people, forgiving people, helping people. I'm going to tell you, my brother that helped me with my car, I'm eternally grateful because he showed me love in that. And some of you helped me with that too, to get the part and stuff. And God has showed you that love. And I receive it
and I'm thankful for it. I thank you, and I thank the Heavenly Father that put it in your heart. Those are the good works He talks about. God ordains that we do good things for folks, whatever that may be. And when you do that, you are rewarded, not only with the thanks of a fellow brother or sister in Christ, but by God Himself. You may not see it instantly. It may not be till way down the road when you need help, because you reap what you sow. Am I right? And when you help, someone is going to help you. When you're mean and you're being a jerk, someone is going to be mean and being a jerk to you at the most inappropriate moment. But the Bible does not lie. God is not mocked. You reap what you sow. You sow kindness. You sow goodness. You sow mercy. You sow all the things that God gives you to do in this life, and you will be rewarded. Folks will tell you that's just a bunch of hokum. But folks, that's the gospel truth. And brothers and sisters, if we live by that, we are children of obedience, not children of disobedience. We are to do the works God has prepared for us. He's prepared something different for me. You know, I've told you this over and over, but when I got out of high school, because I was a little nerdy, short fella, got picked on a lot, I joined the Navy so that I could be a wall of medals with a man pinned behind it. All right? I wanted to show everybody I can do something. Well, I did do something. I found out that's not where God wanted me. You know, I had my dolphins and three little ribbons. I didn't have a wall of medals. You know, and one of them was just because I was stuck on a boat for more than 90 days at a time. So I really didn't do nothing to earn that other than just be there. But folks, every day that I can do something good for the Lord's purposes, for His glory, rewards are given to me in heaven. I will get them one day when those crowns are laid at my feet. And then I'm going to pick or put on my head. Then I'm going to take them up and lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ. Folks, it's a wonderful thing to have that knowledge, that wisdom that teaches us each moment we breathe, God can use us. God can help us, and God can tell us which way we need to go. Wide path like the world? Nope, don't want it. I really don't want what the world has to offer. God has given me my family, my occupation, my vocation, because you know there's a difference, right? My friends, my brothers, my sisters, even some weird cousins I could consider some of you. All right. But I'm going to tell you, that's what's real, because that love, that existence will go on forever. Because folks, I hate to tell you this, when we all get to heaven as we used to sing, y'all stuck with me for a while. And I'm stuck with you, so don't smile too much. All right. Brother Norm, how you like that? You're going to stuck with me for heaven forever. How about that? You know, and Brother Steve, me and you are going to go fishing if heaven has a lake. Not the lake of fire, though, but that's not in heaven, so we're good. We don't want to fish there, that's right. So, some religions teach you got to do all this stuff, and then some teach you, oh, let's die and then we'll do it all over again. Folks, that's not real. The works that God has for us to do are for right here and right now. The big work, the salvation, the eternal life, He's already done it. All we do is plant the seed. Folks, some of y'all have seen the picture of my yard. There's been a lot of seed planting here lately. A lot of things. And you know what? They're coming up. They're beautiful. We got garlics, we got onions, we got taters, we got corn, we got all kind of stuff in beautiful flowers, peonies and irises and orchids and things like that. When you see something springing out of the ground, it reminds me of life, because that seed, as Jesus said, had to die in the ground. But yet, because of God's influence, the rain, the sun, the temperature, all that good stuff, life has emerged. You see, when God eventually plants this seed, this body, I'm going to rise incorruptible, never to die again, never to hurt again, never to cry again. Maybe tears of joy, but not tears of sorrow ever. And I'm looking forward to that day. You know, Brother Matt told you about Christine's graduation thing we're having up here. Well, yesterday, Shiny was working on the little board you put up with all the pictures on it. Very pretty. But I got to looking at the pictures of my daughter when she was born. Y'all going to get a kick out of some of them, but we'll save that for then. But one of the pictures I have, and I was telling Brother Matt about that this morning, I have her, she was just born. Her rear end is here at my elbow and her head's in my hand and I'm holding her like this. And I'm crying like crazy because I was so happy. Folks, I teared up because I'm still happy. God has rewarded me with a beautiful child who's smart as a cracker. And she can beat me at arm wrestling. All right. Brother Allen, I think that's some of that karate training, so that's good.
You know what, though? That means that she's grown up and God has caused that new life to come up. And whatever God has for her, I know that if she is obedient and she's willing to go through that narrow gate,
she will be blessed with a life that no one can imagine. That anticipation of youth. That's why we celebrate graduations and birthdays and things that, because that celebration means that there's new life coming.
Now, yes, on earth, as long as there's new life, there's always going to be new problems. She's going to have to figure out what FICA means.
She's going to have to figure out what paying for insurance means. She was fussing this morning because she's got to make her own dental appointment.
Okay? But I'm going to tell you what, it will be an experience she will never forget.
And when she gets my age, she's going to look back on certain moments.
I remember my dad doing something nice for me. I remember my mother making these boards for me.
I remember the food that she cooked me. I remember all these things.
And I'm thankful to God that His grace has allowed me to have this, not just for here,
but for all eternity. Because in heaven, if we are known as we are known, that means we're going to carry all the good memories with us.
I do not believe that we're going to carry the bad memories with us. Why do I say that?
Because when He says He's going to wipe away all tears, that means anything that could bring us pain. Anything that could bring us physical pain and also emotional pain.
But folks, you've got to be a child of God to have that. No discussion.
So let's get down to the application. I know I'm running hair long today, but I'm going to tell you, it's been a joy to preach on this. All of what God has given us was prepared for those who choose Christ over the world. All believers have standing orders to be like Christ to and in front of the world, including unbelievers. That means we're to be Christ even in front of unbelievers. Not just in the church house, but out in the world. Because we are His representatives. We are His ambassadors. How many of y'all remember royal ambassadors? We are ambassadors of Christ to all the world. So how do we use these things we've learned today, this wisdom, this knowledge? Number one, saints, use this knowledge to answer those who ask you about Jesus. What if somebody comes up and says, well, how do we get faith? How does God save us? Do we have to believe or does it just happen? How do you know what to answer them?
Because God has told you through His Word, and that Word stands today as it did then. When it came out of Paul's pen, it stands just as true now as it did at that moment.
Use it to strengthen those who are undergoing various trials and persecution. Saints, there are people going through all kind of trouble. People with car trouble, people with family trouble, people with job trouble, people with health issues, and they need encouragement and strength. Where do you find it?
In the Word of God. And folks, don't worry about what you're going to say at that moment, because God tells us in His Word that when you need to say something, He's going to teach you what to say in that moment by that Holy Spirit that lives in you. In other words, go with the flow, because that flow is coming out of the throne of God.
All right, saints, use these knowledge and wisdom to comfort those in pain or in doubt because of the enemy who desires their destruction. The devil's going to come after folks, especially those who are kind of wafting back and forth between the old man and the new man, between the old birth and the new birth. They're seeking, they want to know God, but the devil comes after them because he don't want to lose what's already his.
He will dig in like you would not believe. Some of you may believe it because some of you have been through it.
He will cause doubt. He will cause fear. He will cause all kinds of things. Oh, I'm going to lose my family. Nobody's going to have anything else to do. I'll lose my job.
So what? You're going to lose it anyway.
I've only seen it one time.
But I remember this man, his wife brought his dog to the graveside. And that dog, you know, wanted to jump in the grave. He knew his master was in that. We've seen and heard stories about that kind of stuff, but I saw it for real life. One of them little old, I don't know, Boston Terrier, one of them little dogs that, you know, all over you all the time. You know what I'm talking about? And that dog was mean, too. I was kind of hoping he would go in the hole, but that's a whole other story.
All right.
But folks, we lose all those things we think are precious. Why? Because they're temporary.
God gives us to them for a short time. Even if you live to be 100 years old or something. We got a lady in this church, she's not here today, but she's over 100 years old. And she's lived a long, full life, and she's had a lot of things that God has given her to enjoy during that life.
But folks, it's not going to last. For her or for the children in here, the things that God gives us on this earth to enjoy, to help us to use like tools and homes and cars and things like that, none of that is going to last. Some folks, you know, I worry about sometimes when I'm having financial difficulty and I hear a thing on the radio about some athlete getting angry because he was getting $25 million instead of $20 million. When I hear that, my blood starts boiling. But then I think to myself, first of all, don't covet. Second of all, he's going to lose that. The day he breaks his ankle, the day he twists his knee, the day he falls down from a stroke from all the steroids he was taking, he's going to lose every bit of it. And all he's going to be is information on the back of a card that somebody collects 40 years in the future. That's not what I want. I want to live forever. I want to be with God forever. I want to be with Christ forever. I want to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ forever. Because it will not be taken away. It will not fade. It will not disappear. It is laid up in heaven for me, that inheritance that lasts for eternity. And brothers and sisters, that's the only real thing that you can take with you. What you receive from the love of God. Now, saints, use that as we spoke. Now, let me talk to the children. Children in the faith. Learn the truth of how God saves you and others. Respect God's call to do what His will is in this world. Don't listen to the rest of the world. They will tell you, get what you can, get it when you can, and get it however you can, because you're not going to have it. That's true. But see, the devil always gives you a lie wrapped up in a false or half-truth. Folks, the devil understood that when Eve told him, God told us if we eat it, we will die. But Satan twisted that. God meant physical death, not at that moment, but because of sin. And folks, Eve believed the lie of the devil. You will not surely die. Well, she didn't in that moment. A half-truth. And the devil takes that and runs with it. And we take it and we run with it. And we base our hope in the lies of the world, the lies of the flesh, the lies that tell you you can live and be however you want. You can sin all you want and you're never going to have to pay a consequence. Because God loves you so much, He's just going to wink like an old grandpa on a porch up in heaven somewhere. You do something that's sinful and He winks at you. It's okay, child. Don't worry about it. Folks, God expects us to be perfect. But in Christ, let me reemphasize, be ye perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. How do we be perfect? In Christ, because Christ paid for all our sins. They're wiped out. We're a clean slate. We can start over. Every time we are forgiven, we're forgiven initially, and then every time we sin, we go to the Lord. He wipes that slate clean. My favorite verse, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us. That means completely wipe it off. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Past, present, and future. Not license, love. Because He loves us that much. So children of the faith, respect that call that God does to do His will. And you may be the only Jesus that some folks will ever see or ever experience. You know, when I saw that pastor, and folks, I have mixed feelings because I know everybody can be forgiven if they repent. But when he sees somebody, I'm reminded of Pharaoh. How many miracles did Pharaoh see during the plagues and before that? Many, and yet God hardened his heart. When you are so used to being away from a true God, the true God, as a pastor, your heart becomes hardened and you're more willing to accept the lies of the world. And what are you doing? You're causing other people to sin. And the Bible says, that ain't going to work. You're going to be held doubly accountable. And I fear for them. I fear for myself because I want to make sure I get this right. We were talking about AI this morning out in the lobby. Where on Sunday mornings, we have great theological conferences, by the way. We talk about a lot of things, but we're talking about, you get these AI chatbots, especially on these religious red sites that I go to. Oh, create your sermon in less than 5 minutes. Folks, if I wanted to hear what a robot said, I'd go drop a quarter down at the Walmart and watch the hobby horse. Okay? Because it makes about as much sense. God tells pastors to divide the word rightly. You get into the Word, you pray over the Word, you write down what you learn, and then God, through the Holy Spirit, forms it into what He wants you to give. Sometimes you stick to that, and sometimes He sends you on a rabbit trail.
Y'all can say amen to that because I know I've been on a lot of rabbit trails with y'all. But folks, when you rightly divide the Word of God, you are treating it with respect. You are treating it with love. Not in idolatry, but in the fact that it is the very Spirit-inspired Word that He wants you to know. He wants the people to know. And when we do that, we are seeking that wisdom. And I would say, as my last application, we need to purposely seek God's wisdom ferociously. Because you have to fight over it. Because you've got so many things trying to tell you it doesn't mean what it actually means. It means this, that, then, but it means this now. Folks, that is a lie. Read the Word for yourself. Don't trust what Brother Charles says. Don't trust what Brother so-and-so on TV says. Don't trust what some guy 900 years ago wrote down in some musty book. If you want to read it to help you understand it, that's fine. But that's not Scripture. Trust the Scripture. Trust the Word of God itself. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you will be illumined. You will be enlightened about what God is wanting to teach you out of that Scripture. Young folks, listen to it. And if you have a godly influence in your life, listen to them. Imitate them if they're a godly influence. If they're not, stay away from them. Okay? But folks, so use the knowledge God gives you. Learn the truth of how God saves you and others and use that to edify and strengthen others. And then seek His wisdom ferociously. I say ferociously because you need to seek it over the world's way of doing things. Learning the world's way is easy. Just look around you. Look around on the TV, on the radio, on the internet, whatever you want to call it. Can't say magazines and newspapers anymore because there are very few of them. But look at it. That will show you what the world does. And even with the best intention, mankind usually makes mistakes when he trusts in himself. What's the old cliche? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Folks, unless you're doing it God's way, you don't even have good intentions. All you have is selfish intentions. But folks, when you seek His wisdom ferociously, He will give it to you in buckets. He will teach you. Now, you may have to go through trials to learn it, and that's okay because His will be done. Folks, you will learn things the world cannot know. You will have wisdom that the world refuses to accept or understand. And at the end, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and He gives you the rewards for being a faithful servant, and you look, however you look, and you see the great white throne and you see all the folks who had the chance to have God's knowledge. They had the chance to learn of His love. They had the chance to be forgiven. But for whatever reason, they chose the world's way. They chose the way of the devil. And they will spend eternity with Him in the lake of fire. That scares me to death because I have people I love that are heading that direction. No matter amount of talking, no matter amount of pleading, no amount of matter showing them in the Word what it says, they refuse. Folks, let not that be said of us. What needs to be said of us is we are saved by grace through faith. And this not of ourselves, it is a what of God? A gift of God, lest any man should boast. Not by works, lest any man should boast. I can never do it on my own. You can never do it on your own. All you can do is love and fear God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord and accept the gift that He has given you, eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise team.